It's a song, that's a testimony of my life, I promise you that. Or sometimes the sighing gets pretty long, doesn't it? You ever sighed? Not this again. My favorite thing is, are you kidding me? I hear some of you people saying that out there, amen. Take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. Scripture says, this is my commandment. God's saying, this is my command to you. This is my charge to you. That ye love one another. Sometimes there's people very easy to love. There's just some people, they're always smiling and bubbly, and it seems like they don't have anything bad going on in their life, and it seems like they're the ones that come in and coach you and encourage you, and they're the people that smile and say, man, isn't this a great day? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is the greatest day of my life. And you say, yeah, I like that. I like being around those kind of people. And then there's the moan and groan people. The woe is me crowd. The people out there that you know that you get close to them, you're going to get dirty on you, amen. You know the cloud of the cloud is going to come over your head. Oh, what a rotten day. Oh, that teacher did this and that person said that and somebody texted me this. And boy, can you believe they said that about me? I mean, hey, I'm just perfect. They said about me? And you're thinking, back, yeah, I believe it. But anyway, there's a lot of people out there that are having a lot of trouble. There are some people that said this is the greatest day of your life. Some people that just know that life is good and happy to be around them. Just kind of, they're just smiling all the time and just they got a lift in their step and a twinkle in their eye. And they're smiling. You're wondering what in the world they've been up to. Amen. Jesus said, this is my commandment. That you love one another. Most of us have acquaintances, but we only accumulate a few friends. There's only a few people out there that you can really call your friend. Some of our friends may prove unfriendly to us. Some of our friends may prove to themselves, to you, unfaithful. The Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 9, David had this problem. He said, mine, yes, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, many Bible scholars understand that this, of course, this is the illustration that God uses later by Jesus Christ when he's talking about Judas Iscariot, when Judas Iscariot certainly went against God while he was on this earth. But let me remind you that even devoted friends, will fail us when we need them the most. You're thinking of that person right now. But according to God's word, do we believe God's word? Do we obey God's word? Do we keep the commandments of God's word? God said, hey, if you do that, I'll give you life. The Bible says, this is my commandment. This is my charge to you. This is my law to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much does God love you? You say, preacher, that's hard to explain. Well, just think of it for a minute. How much does God love you? God took you from the miry clay and set you upon the rock. When you realize that there is no hope for you at all, you realize that death was going to bring you hell forever, and you realize that Jesus Christ died on that cross and saved you from your sins, and all you have to do is invite Him to be your personal Savior and invite Him to come into your heart and your life, and he saved you. Well, how much do you love him? He saved your wretched soul. The Bible says he would that none should perish, that all would have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Even the devoted friends may fail us when we need the most. Did Jesus need friends? Yes. He had good friends. One thing about Jesus Christ is that though his friends failed him, he never failed them. It is my responsibility, if you are my friend, to do everything I can to make your life comfortable, do everything I can to help you and encourage you. Even though you may go against me, even though you may say things about me, and even things you may even tell other people about me, I'm still to be your friend. Because that's the commandment that God gave, that we're to love one another. In fact, the Bible says we ought to love one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. As God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. This is a powerful message this morning. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my mind around it, all right? Because there are some people out in this world that are very cruel. There are some people out in this world, there's a lot of people out in this world who would take advantage of us, would use us until we're done, and then they throw us away. They're kind of like the people that call us friends. It's called the orange effect. They peel the orange, eat the orange, throw the waste away. And they go find somebody else to suck out the blood of that person. You say, it ain't fair. That's why Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. This is, Paul wrote, that you're to tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Wow, that's powerful. Tender-hearted. Hey, you know what tender-hearted means? Tender-hearted is when you have this yearning desire to help something that cannot help you back. I enjoyed the snow the other day. I'd rather have rain, but I enjoyed the snow. I was praising God for Mr. Bickler up there, and did you get much helping Shelby? I'm glad, brother. I was praying for you. I told a guy yesterday, I was meeting with him, and I told him, hey, I got a farmer up in Shelby, man. I'm praying to God he got some good rain up there, or good snow up there. But you know, when that snow comes, it kind of makes, changes some things. I noticed a bunch of sparrows flying around looking for something to eat. I got a bag of feed out, and I filled up all my feeders. I thought I was done with that, amen. And boy, I tell you what, they were having banquet this morning. Boy, they were just enjoying themselves. But the trouble is, I like to say, will you be a little careful? They eat one piece and throw about 100 pieces on the ground. You know, they're just a mess, you know. And I think what they're doing is trying to get it to grow for next year, amen. But my tender heart was that I see, you say, but you can't help them all, but I can help some, amen. There's some people out in this world that really in need. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to go. Their hearts are broken. We have this funeral. It's going to be at 3:00. Just make sure that's over in Black Eagle. Here we have two little girls in our church. Mommy killed. They have a memorial service today for them. Another kids in our church, the kids were taking them as their parents because they're beating them. I don't know about you, but I tender heart with that one. I tender heart when a little baby's crying. I tender heart when someone is not feeling well and they're crying and you don't know, they just can't give you the answer of what's going on in their life. We all have tender hearts for that. But there's a line sometimes that people cross. In fact, they are cross. That people cross. That they just seem like they really don't care about anything else but themselves. All they want is what they can get. There's no repayment at all. And the Bible says, when a person needs help, and you have it, you give it, and then he puts this rest on the scriptures, and don't expect it back. Because when I expect it back, I expect it back because I am thinking about how I'm going to use what I already gave out so that I can get back to the same program or the same pace, same whatever, right? So God says, if you're going to give something to somebody, give it, but don't expect to get it back. That'll keep your heart from getting hard. What did it say about the tender-hearted? We want to be careful of this whole heart. I have to guard this heart constantly about getting hard. I have to be very, very careful that I don't let it hit so many times. When I was in college football, my goodness, it went from high school football to college football, and there is quite a difference of training and, I mean, just pure out brutal assault, as I explained to you. And boy, I'll tell you what, the first 2, 3, 4 days, you're tender. You are so sore. That coach found muscles in you you didn't ever know you had. And you can't hardly move. I remember about the third day, I'm really stoved up. I mean, I could hardly move. And, of course, they put the freshman up on the third floor, and you had to run the steps third floor. And I got down the bottom, I could hardly move, and I just went, aah! Growled like a gold grizzly bear, and I ran up the steps, fell fetal position on my bed, and didn't move until I had to get up and get in and just get something to eat. Well, what happened? After about 3 weeks, you could do that stuff all day, and it hurt you. You're no more tender, you were hardened. You'd bruise, your arms would bruise the first couple of weeks, but after that, your arms wouldn't break to bruise. You know what? We as Christians, we have to be so careful that we don't get hardened. That we lose our tears. I worked for a funeral home, and after I was there for about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, I was kind of a guy that could tear up pretty good. You know, when I see something that happened and I feel bad for him, I could cry. But after I worked at that funeral home for about 3 or 4 weeks, I noticed something. I lost my tears. I got hardened to seeing all these people with all these problems, people coming because their husband or their wife or their... I remember a little girl, her parents ran this huge cemetery, and the little girl fell in the ditch and drowned. It about killed us. But you know what? I didn't have no tears. Because I've been hardened to the fact that so much trauma. It was just one of those deals. You just suck up and you go on and do your job. You know, we Christians, we've got to guard this heart of ours. We've got to be so careful that we don't let this heart get hard, because there are people out there that really need us. There's little boys and little girls out in Great Falls in the Cascade County area that need a church that cares for them. Need a group of people that believe the scripture says a true Christian is one who looks after the fatherless and the widow indeed and lives unspotted by the world. We as Christians, we need to be very careful that, yeah, there are some people going to take advantage of us. You ever been taken advantage of? You ever been used? Satan uses that to take a deep knife and cut in our heart. Make your heart hard. The next time some missionary needs some help, we're not going to help them, because the last missionary, I see what he did or they did. I see what that member of our church did to me and did to some people. Boy, that's not Christian. Let me tell you, that's not Christian. I will fail you. I'll promise you that. I will disappoint you. I promise you that. I will not live up to your expectation of myself. I will promise you that, but I will tell you that every one of us that sits in this auditorium today has the same problem. The given time, the right circumstance, I'm going to fail. Garen dog-teed. I'm going to fail. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to continue down that path. I'm going to, as a Christian, I want to make sure that I stay serving God. I'm going to guarantee you that I'm going to go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to go to God and I'm going to confess my sins and my shortcomings and my failures. I tell God, I said, Lord, Paul the Apostle said He is the chief of all sinners. And if He's the chief, man, what am I? Dear God, you got to help me in this. Paul wrote, he said, that the sins come onto us so quickly. Troubles and sorrows of life are destroying us. And the problem is that we got people that will come to the point in their life that they are troubled and they do some things wrong and they do some things that are unacceptable and they just said, it's not worth it. I can't live it, so I'm just going to live like the devil. Guess what you just did? You just crossed over to what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get to the point in your life that you can't do anything right for God, and so therefore, what's it worth? Every time I try to do something, this person says something against it. Every time I try to do something nice, some people get that. You know what? You are accountable for yourself. Someone takes advantage of you. Number one, God knows what you did. You could say amen on that. God knows what you did. Number two, since God knows what you did and you know what you did, God's not going to judge you for that. I've told the story many times. I'll tell you again. Probably shouldn't. Time in our church, a lady needed to have dental work on a tooth. And she said, Pastor, I just don't have $400. I just don't know what to do, what to do. And I believe the scripture says when you have it, you give it. And I said to her, I said, tell me your dentist. And I'll write the check out. Amen. 3 weeks later, all three of their boys have brand new bicycles. Not one time did they ever say, hey, preacher, I'll pay you back. Now let this lesson be learned, okay? Number one, I'm still doing okay. I could have used it last week when I was filling out my taxes, but anyway. I'm doing okay, number one. Number two, I did what I believe God wanted me to do. And number three, when Scripture tells me that when I give something, I never should expect to get it back. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I ask you for something, I am going to get it back or give it to you back better than I got it. That's the way my daddy taught me. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. But I am not responsible for the judgment of that people who did what they did. I've got to get rid of that because if I don't, my heart's going to get what? Hard. I don't want to harden my heart. When I see a child that needs some help, I want to help that child. If I have it, I'm going to use it. If I don't have it, I'm going to pray for them. I guess what I'm trying to tell you, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And it's not our responsibility to get back. I heard one guy say, I'm not going to get back. I'm going to get you better. Whoa, dude. All right. It's not my responsibility to get back. It's not my responsibility to chirp and gripe and complain all the people. I've never told that family. I've told you what that happened years ago. Most of you never even know who they are. Except we do have a lot of families that have three boys, don't they? Your boys need new bicycles, don't you? No, my wife needs... But anyway. But seriously. That's all in the past. Leave it alone. Get on with life. Get on and go. You can't get it back anyway. But how many times in my life, since 20 years ago, that God has brought to me a $400 bill and blessed me and encouraged me? So it's best for us as Christians that we love one another and we tender-hearted, forgiving one another so that God can continue to use you. I've seen some people that God has used many times and all of a sudden they get that one quirk or that one thing that really is the straw that breaks the camel's back. They have served God. They've given their life to God. They've given. And one time, someone takes a pot shot at them, or somebody shoots over their bow, or someone causes them a hiccup, or somebody causes them really upset because they said that they needed that, but they lied and did something else because of that. They stop church. They stop reading their Bible, stop praying. Guess who do you think's underneath all that? Tell me. Satan is. He wants to drive a wedge between us and God and us and our one another's. And when you allow that to happen, I will guarantee you, your heart will become hard. You will shield yourself from all the problems that God can. Hey, the Bible says the poor you always have. I was thinking about that and I thought, you know what? That's a wonderful thing because that means that I always have an opportunity to help somebody. I always have the opportunity to show the love of God and Jesus Christ to others. May God help us to keep Jesus' first commandment. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. We live in such a world of despondency. We live in such a world of hatred and terrorism. We live in such a world of people always questioning people's motives. And I think Satan is getting her down pretty good now. How he can destroy us. Destroy good churches like Heritage Baptist Church. Instead of tender-hearting, forgiving one another, instead of saying, hey, you know what? Brother, this is a little concerning me, but I want you to know I love you anyway and I forgive you. What did Jesus say? Jesus, the God of all the world, who created and spoke this world into existence, they took him and they flagged him. They whooped him almost to death. They made him carry a heavy old cross to the Mount Calvary. And they hung him on that cross. And when he is about to die, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You talk about the love. He's practicing the love when he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Did they ask him to forgive them? No. Most people that you deal with will never ask forgiveness. In fact, they just don't care. Just as long as they get taken care of, as long as they get fit. I had a guy call me on the phone the other day, and he told me that he needed some help. And I said, sir, we got a lot of people in our church that need help. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church right now. Well, I said, are you hungry? No, I'm not hungry. I just need some money. And I said, sir, I said, we don't give out money. If you're hungry, we'll feed you. But we don't give out money. And he began to curse me. He just told me about the colleges that he went to, Bible college he went to, and talking about where he used to preach and this, that. And then he, because I didn't give him the right answer, that I was going to give him some money for his rent. There are going to be people like that out there. You've got to understand that you love one another. When problems come, talk to the person. Tell them you love them. Write them a note. When you see usually people, when they lash out to you, it's usually because they're just having a difficult time. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got heart. If I had you to sit down today and I met with you one-on-one, I said, what happened this week? What were the things that happened in your life? Brother, there wouldn't be enough time until doomsday that you could tell me all the things that happened. All the things that happened. Bad things happened. But Jesus says, love one another. Hey, tender heart, forgive one another. Stephen caught it. Stephen understood it. And when Stephen was stoned to death, for giving his testimony about this Lord and Savior, he said, Lord, hold not this to their charges. How are we doing? How are we doing? How about a teenager? How are you doing? How about a college student? How about young married? How about middle age? How about some of you old fogies out here, amen? Huh? You can get pretty cranky in your old age. Yeah, you can. Are you kidding me? They never did that when I was young. Well, yes, they did. Marcy even agreed with that. Father, I pray today that you'd help us to love one another. Lord, if we could just take this simple truth. Lord, Solomon said that when we have anger in our heart, it's worse than a cancer. God, help us to love one another. Help us to understand that we have a job to do. Lord, how can people see the love of Christ in our hearts when we're fussing and saying all manner of evil against each other? God, I pray you'd help us to be more like you, that we'd have a tender heart, a tender tongue, a tender mind. Lord, we'd have tender hands. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I just don't understand all this love business. Well, unless you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you won't understand it. Let me ask you this question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Say, preacher, I know for a fact if I died right here, right now, right at this spot, I'd be on my way to heaven. I'm 100% sure of that. Would you lift your hand today and say, yes, that's me? I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you. You're today and say, preacher, I can't raise my hand. I do not know that. I'd certainly like to know that. It'd be a blessing in my heart if it would. My friend, in just a moment, I'm going to be standing up front. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you just come on right down. Let me show you from God's holy word. Let's stand. You're ordained to say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, preacher, I want to get saved. You're ordained to say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come? That's down in the water and up out of the water, showing the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're ordained to say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? You know, God loved the church so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for it. Jesus Christ loved the church so much that He went to that cross. In fact, he has this in the Bible, says we're not even to forsake the assembly. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, there's some spots that I'm looking at in my heart over this love business. There are some people that have done me wrong. And I'm just having a hard time getting over it. But today, I'm going to keep the commandment of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep His commandment, which says that we love one another. I'm going to ask God to forgive me of the way I felt towards them. I'm going to ask God to give me a new look at life and to look for people that I can help and encourage. That's a great prayer. Father in heaven, today we thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of the Word of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to keep your commandment. Oh God, I pray you'd help us just to give ourselves to you, and Lord, that we'd be so careful in each step that we take, that we'd walk close to you and we'd live more like you. I know, Lord God, there's going to be people out there who are going to take advantage, but Lord God, you're the ones in control. It's not about us. Lord, bring us back tonight to the service. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.